Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with your great church and your beloved Pastor Ken and Kay, his extraordinary wife, and David. It's always great to see David and Nella, and now we had the privilege to meet Jonathan and Sylvia, your team of ministry, and many of you, Beth, who is the consummate administrator, and people that just have grown to love over the years, and it's wonderful to be with you. And Masha is so excited to be here. Masha, why don't you just turn around and wave to everybody? And she's just, she gets to meet the family here. And I just, you know, you just touch her in so many ways also. And God bless you for that. You know, I just want to say that as I look upon you, I just feel life. I feel joy. I feel your hunger. I see people who have been here probably with Pastor Ken and Kay for a lot of years. As we came in this morning, one of the men shared as we were just coming up, he said, yeah, I was part of the building of that garage over there for the very first church, you know what I mean, in 1982. And so the history here goes back quite a ways. And you're a strong house. You're a strong people. And I just want to say today that I trust, you know, the Bible, and I know why Pastor Ken brings me is because he brings in ministers, because the Bible says he gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, right? Now, if you know anything about music, you know, I'm just going to use this allegorically for a moment here, but if you know anything about music, let's say that you, you want to have an F chord or a C chord. You know, you can just play one note and you can play a C, or you can play an F note and you can have an F. But if you were playing a C chord, you could have a C and then you could have an E and then you could have a G and then you can have another C at the top. So you got four fingers tied in there, right? And then all of a sudden, if you put your finger on that black note called a B flat, suddenly you've opened up another frequency. You opened up a seventh. And you could do that with any chord. You can create a seventh note. And now the harmonic of that changes. And you can hear that one note because it stands out. In the same way that, you know, you bring in a ministry grace, and this is what I pray, is that I add to the frequency of the house. I add to the sound. But I bring a note that I trust will be a sense of adding to the frequency, but you'd say it activated something in me. It activated something. I'm praying for prophetic activation in you. I'm praying for an awakening of spiritual insight, spiritual understanding. And it's to add into the depth of what is in the house, the density of the note that is here. But you see, I remember when Saul went to the prophetic school, he began to prophesy even though he wasn't a prophet. That may you think differently, may you see differently, may something be quickened in you in an unusual way. Because really as I look upon you, I see a community of people who love greatly. I see you as being called in the place where you work. I see you caring, but I also see an army. I see you living in a very challenging time in which you were made to live a supernatural life. And so these are days, as Pastor Ken has desired, that this would be a Holy Spirit time. But it's going to be a time of encounters. It's a time of the power of God. It's a time of revelatory understanding so that we can live together in a place that is a higher realm as a normative way of life. Amen? So are you ready?
Yes.
Tonight we're going to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit quickly to launch some things. And so if you are not free in praying in the Holy Spirit, you've never encountered the Holy Spirit, you know, that's an area that I fluidly love to minister in. So we might as well just do it right off the bat. Amen? And let's move in to the power of God. In these days, you're going to move into the realm of seeing spiritually. I long to understand what it was to see spiritually. And how important that is. Understand the power of the imagination. To understand how it's so implicit into the Word of God. May deal with understanding trauma. How to see healing of trauma in people's lives. How it affects our heart, our memories, our neurological pathways, physical things. May deal with the areas of understanding the voice of God, how the prophetic flows of God open up into your life, spiritual warfare. We're going to open up understandings of the nature of the battles that you are in. There's going to be dimensions of the Holy Spirit. And I think when you look at it as a composite over several days, you'll say, you know what? Another realm opened up that can become a way of life. So let's get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray that our minds are bound to your mind, our thoughts to your thoughts, our understanding to your wisdom, and our lives to your destiny. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus and ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would be our teacher, that you would reveal truth to us, that you would reveal to us the kingdom of God today. I thank you for this, Father, your amazing goodness to us, and now to take us into the days that we live in so that we can be powerful people, an army of you, Father God, in the days for those who do not know you and are being called from darkness into light. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to open up with a passage of scripture out of Paul's, and maybe it'll just be a pungent opener this morning. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul writes this, and he says, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, or Ephesians 1, that you would know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And then in Ephesians 3, verse 18, it says this. It says that you might know what is the breadth, that's the King James, the depth, the length, and the height of the love of God. And to know this love that surpasses all understanding, that you would be filled to the fullness of the measure of God. Now, when you think about this for a moment, you wonder, well, what does this all mean in a practical sense? Because today we're going to look at this through the kingdom of God and try to make this very practical in our lives, all right? So when you put two dots together, a dot here and a dot there, and you connect these two dots, you have a line, right? And that line, and by the way, I don't like to talk tricky things. I like to be really basic, really simple, okay? So you have a line. That line is called a one-dimensional realm, one-dimensional reality. Two dots separated or connected through a line, one dimension. But if you put another dot up here and you dropped it down to these other two connecting points, you would now have a triangle. You have a two-dimensional reality. The second dimension contains the line at the bottom, but is a higher order. If you would take this triangle and you tipped it on its side, and so you have your line here, and you have your triangle here, and now you put a dot over here, and now you connect it, now you have a little micro pyramid. You have a three-dimensional reality. That third dimension contained the second dimension, and it contained the first dimension. But it's a higher order. It's a higher because it contains the implicit first and second dimension within it, right? I want to tell you this, that we live in a three-dimensional world. This three-dimensional world has a certain observation within the light spectrum of an ultraviolet light spectrum. That's what enables your eyes to look into this reality around us and interpret images because your eyes don't see. It's actually your brain that sees, and your eye is picking up on images according to a light frequency. And that becomes one of five physical senses: sight, hearing, smelling, tasting, and feeling. And now that becomes the defining sense of a three-dimensional world. And for us, we believe that is our reality. But you want to know something? The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that the world was created from a realm that is not seen and brought in to a seeing realm. That opens up a whole new paradigm. That means outside of this three-dimensional realm is a much bigger and more defining realm than the world you and I all live in. And in the sense of that, there's certain laws, there's certain order that goes on in this three-dimensional world, and we understand that. And our brain primarily interprets the information and then makes its awareness to us, and we live accordingly from that. Would that be safe to say? We live according to what we see, taste, smell, touch, and feel, and the information that it puts into our thoughts. But what happens if a fourth dimension opened up to you? That you would know, now watch this, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God? A four dimension, a higher order, a higher set of values, a higher set of properties, a higher dominion with governing authority now that establishes that realm. And what if that was your promised land? Wouldn't that be a thought? Because you see, when we read the Old Testament, we see so much talk about the promised land, don't we? The children of Israel going into the promised land, coming out of Egypt, right? Well, what is Egypt to us? Well, Egypt might be not knowing the Lord, being brought into a place of captivity, being confined to a state of maybe a three-dimensional world. Because there can be what's true, but the higher order is not what's true. The higher order is truth. Let's talk about fear just for a moment. You know, one of the acronyms for fear is the spelling is F-E-A-R, but it can be an acronym for false evidence appearing real. Now all of a sudden, these things become believable to us. Sometimes you might get a report from somebody about maybe the state of your health. Maybe the enemy might come and say something to you about something that you are. And it may even be true. But you know what? When the Father comes, he says, that's not truth because I see you redemptively. I see you in a whole different dimension. I remember there was a man, goes back years ago. I went and I pulled him out of the crowd and I laid hands on him and I saw that, you know, I felt this incredible sense of anger upon his life. And I didn't know it was going to be the last service he and his wife were ever going to be in. Because in the reality was that this man had violent anger within him, so much so that it was dangerous. And I remember I laid hands on him, and the first impression was that this man was a very angry man. But what I saw in this is that, more importantly, I saw a redemptive word, and I said to him, you are a very kind man. He looked me with the biggest of eyes, and then all of a sudden he began to break, and he wept profusely. Because as a little boy, his dad would beat him uncontrollably. And that spirit of anger got inside of him. And that day, something broke over his life. I watched over the ensuing days, this man who had been so captivated with anger, suddenly when that broke and that deliverance began to happen, they moved from the back row up to about the third row. Then the next day they moved to the second row. Then the last day they were in the front row. And what was going to be the end of their lives turned out to be the place of the greatest union. Because you see, the Father doesn't see you according to what's true. He sees you according to what is truth. He sees you according to a higher order. He sees you according to his eyes through another dimension. Now it becomes an invitation to all of us. So you know what we do? We get used to being like birds in a cage or people in a prisoner of war camp. We want to make the prisoner of war camp really comfortable, don't we? We want to just make it as palatial as we can. But at the end of the day, we're just kind of like prisoners. And sometimes the Christian world doesn't look a whole lot different than the other world around us. You know why? Because we're all trying to make it work in a three-dimensional world. This moment of time is to shift a reference for you. You are actually called, and I live for this, Masha lives for this, to live a supernatural life. The supernatural life is actually meant to be your normal. It's actually meant to be the way that we're called to live our lives together. So, let's go into it. We enter into a realm, into a place where Jesus came to bring many, many things. But one of those things is he came to bring salvation to us, the redemption of God. And we could go on and speak for hours about that, but let's just keep it simple. He came to bring salvation. Part of salvation, the Bible says, is to be born again. Remember the story with Nicodemus, you must be born again? But you know what Jesus said about it that was very interesting in John 3:3? Except, he says, a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So now we see that the moment that a person's spirit, which was dead, is made alive unto God, something becomes awakened. All of a sudden, this spirit, this eternal spirit in a person, is awakened, and now the potential for the kingdom of God begins to open up to a person in their life. Let's go and see another one. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because Jesus came to reveal the Father. And so now we begin to realize another whole dimension begins to open up to us. Because these are all interconnected. Because the Father is integral in the Godhead, integral into a higher order, into a way of life that we're called to live. And the third thing Jesus came, the Bible says, was to bring the kingdom of God. He came, you know, Jesus didn't argue with the political people in his day because he came to establish another government. He came to establish another kingdom, a kingdom that would be a higher order. You know, you think about it, the time of Jesus in the ensuing period of time in the book of Acts, those people, the Bible said, turned the world upside down, and Christianity was influential in the bringing down of the most powerful empire in the world. The Roman Empire came down through a higher kingdom out of the kingdom of God. It's an amazing thought. So let's go into this and begin to examine now how this begins to look within our lives. I remember one day I was waiting on the Father, and as I was waiting upon him, and we're going to talk about this in this time together, and what it is to abide and things such as that. But I was waiting on the Father, and this scripture, well, this thought opened up to my mind. And I remember the Father saying to me, Len, I've come to make our home in you. I've come to make my home in you. And I'm going, wow. You know, and you know what it's like when the Father speaks to you? It's like you can read it, you can hear somebody say it, but man, when it comes into your heart, it goes off. It was one of those moments. And then I was led to John 14. And there Jesus says, if you love me, my Father and I will come and we'll make our home in you. The word home there is the word abode. And the word abode means that you abide in this abode or in this home. And I thought, wow, that's what Adam and Eve lost. That there they were in the garden with the Father, and all of a sudden they lost their abode. They lost their dwelling place. And you know, what did they do? They put on clothes as if they would be secure in their clothes. Maybe they made a home for themselves because now they had to have a security. But you want to know something? When I became aware that there is an abode in the Father, that I could suddenly move into a place in the Father, and in that place, I could feel a security in my life because I realized, and in that, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking your language here. That you started to realize there's a security when you know that you're not naked in this world. There's a security knowing that you can move into the Father. Wow. A dwelling place. And then I was reminded that, then I looked up that word abode, and I thought, you know what? I wonder, you know, what other words talk about abode. And so I looked it up in my, you know, Strong's Concordance. You know, nowadays you can have it on your phone, right? So pulled up that word abode. And you know where it showed up? It was in John 14, 2. And I was shocked. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Well, you know what? And I say this respectfully, and nor is it wrong, that, you know, many, many times the reference I heard that was in the context of memorials. That, you know, at the end of a person's life, their bios life, their biological life, but not eternal life, because when you receive Jesus, you enter into eternity. Not when you pass from this life, you enter into the eternity, boom, at the moment you receive the Lord, right? Now the eternal realms open up to you. And so anyway, you would hear this word that in my Father's house are many mansions. And so people will say, and it's true, that you know what, that the Lord has prepared a place for us in heaven. And he's a mansion for us in heaven. And, you know, and it's a product of many things. And I get it. It's for sure. And as good as that is, it doesn't help me in the here and now. Unless you look at the word, and the word was, my Father's house are many abodes. Oh, and Jesus just said that if you love me, my Father and I will come and we'll make our abode in you. And then it thought my heart was being flooded that the Father doesn't make a shack. He makes a mansion. And in a mansion, there's many rooms, there's many places. And then my heart started to open up and think, well, what do these rooms look like? What does this mansion look like that now dwells in us, that the Father dwells in? I thought, that's pretty amazing. But then I saw something else. I began to see that it's not just the fact that the Father comes to dwell in you with the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, I've come, I'm sending the Holy Spirit who will live in you. So you see, the Godhead lives in you. So that's a great thing, that the dwelling place of the Lord is in you. And you know, I always remember, and you know, like with professional athletes, you've probably seen this, you know, they get the big trophy and they say, I want to thank the man upstairs for, you know, everything. And you know, I just go, oh man, is that really where he is? He's up in the sky somewhere? No, he lives in you. Now think about this with me. If he lives in you, that changes the way you pray, isn't it? Because now you're communing with God who lives in you. When you're praying, you're not praying to him out there. There's no separation. You're praying to the God who lives in you, who understands everything about your life, understands a world around you, and sees around the corner, sees things you can't see, knows things you do not know, so much so that he says, you know what? Some of the greatest fears in your life are the things that you don't have control over. But if you'll commit them to the Father, you'll release things that are in your control that you really can't control. You release it and commit it to the Father so that he can be in control in those situations. And now all of a sudden, the Father who sees things that you can't see moves into control in those areas of your life because you released control. And in doing it, you went into a higher order. Oh, isn't that amazing? You stepped into a higher realm every time you commit, every time you release, every time you trust, you begin to enter in to a fourth dimensional realm. Very powerful. Why? Because that is your home. And so Jesus now begins to say this, we come to make our home in you. But isn't the Father wonderful? Because he also says, it's not just me coming to live in you. More importantly, you get to live in him. Oh, you get to live in him. You get to live in a place. You get to live in a kingdom. You get to live, you know, you hear people saying, well, I'm a king's kid, right? Okay, that sounds good. And I'm saying yes. But that means you get to live in a realm that is bigger than a three-dimensional captivity pit. You get to live in a whole different place and conduct your life in that realm. And I'm here to say that for many of us, we're living in that realm and we don't even realize how supernatural it is. So, you begin to move into this place and you think about, well, how does a person live in this kingdom? Do these dimensions of this, the rooms, open up to us? You see, it would be safe to say that, you know, David over here, you know, I love David and Nella and how, you know, incredible people. But you know what? David and his name and his character are one. Nella's character is synonymous with her name. You can't separate them. Their nature is part of who they are. If you went into David and Nella's house, it would be an embodiment of their nature and their values and their culture and their family and all of these things, right? It would be, that's the way it is. If a foreigner came in, they would be seen as a foreigner. Well, the same is true in the kingdom of God. That in that sense, that what you begin to realize is that in the Father's kingdom, in the Father's house, it's all part of a divine order that's consistent with his nature. It's harmonious. Would it be safe to say that the devil has no place in the kingdom of God? Of course. right? Has no place. There's no bad person that can just kind of kick down the door of the Father's kingdom and now come in as an imposter into that kingdom. He has no access. He has no harmonic frequency in that place. And when we first got born again, the truth of the matter is that while we, by virtue of an inheritance, had access to that kingdom, we didn't know anything about it. We weren't aligned with it. We weren't connected to it. Though it was foreign. All we knew was a three-dimensional world, and that's it. And maybe we were well-trained in it, but that's about as far as it went. But you know what I discovered? The Father has a level playing field, and he's fair with every one of us. You don't need to come from a pedigree family or go to a Bible college. You don't need to be a 50-year-old Christian in order to understand the kingdom. Not at all. All you need is to be awakened into the goodness of our Father. That's all you need. The Father delights, Jesus said, to show you his kingdom. So how does he show you his kingdom? He shows you himself. He shows you himself. And as he reveals himself to you, which we all know, now something begins to happen. Something begins to be redefined. A new resonance begins to happen into your heart. A new frequency begins to come alive within you. All of a sudden, you become transformed into a certain nature, right? I don't know if you understand, you know, like some people, not everybody, but some people can be judgmental by nature, all right? I'll just say this. Well, maybe we'll talk about judgment on another day because it's a big deal. But in this area of being judgmental, some of these people are not very merciful, right? You know, it's said that we want justice, we want mercy for ourselves, and we want justice for others. Well, what is mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. So I think it's safe to say we all make lots of mistakes, right? And who wants to get what we deserve for all the mistakes we made? That would not be a cool deal, right? So we all want mercy for ourselves. We want justice for others. Just imagine, you know, most people, you know what I mean, they might be speeding and a police car pulls you over. And we would love to get mercy from the police officer, right? Where you'd say, well, you know, it's okay. We'll just let you go. But you want to know something. You see that person driving down that street, you know what I mean, and speeding, and you say, you know, I hope that guy gets caught. You know what I mean? Because we want mercy for ourselves, but we want justice for others. Amen? That's typical of the nature of people. I realized one time in my life years ago that, you know, I was very imperfect. And I realized I was going to make a lot of mistakes that were going to require, in the natural, lots of justice. But oh, how I long for mercy. And then I realized and I saw that scripture when Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And I realized that in order to become a recipient of mercy, I had to become merciful. But what made me merciful was experiencing the Father's mercy. You see, when you suddenly don't get what you deserve, something in you changes. And all of a sudden, instead of being difficult and being mean and being judgmental, you begin to be kind in the face of situations where people did something wrong to you. You said, no, it's fine. I saw the power of mercy to transform other people. It's the most incredible thing when you don't give them what they deserve. But what is that? That's the nature of our Father. That's not your human nature. That's not the fallen nature. That's the nature of the Father. And all of a sudden, a room in the mansion just opened up to you. The Bible says that if two agree as touching anything, it's done for them by the Father. You see, the word agree is a very powerful word, but it's actually a musical word. It's the word if two sinfonio, as touching anything. You ever been, you know, maybe you've seen it on television, maybe you've had the privilege to be there, you know, the orchestras, and before the deal gets going, you're hearing all of these crazy sounds as they're tuning up their instruments, right? It sounds like a raucous kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, the conductor lifts his hands, and there's silence, there's the anticipation, And bang, he brings his hands, and the orchestra kicks in, and everything is in symphonic harmony. You want to know something? When you move into a symphonic harmony with the Father, a realm opens up. Another realm opens. The kingdom of God opens up to you. And you know what? You begin to live in it. You might know what it was like to live in judgment at one point in your life. And then all of a sudden, you got touched by mercy and you moved into another realm. You might have known what it was to live in hurt and bitterness in your life. And all of a sudden, the Father revealed his healing life. And all of a sudden, something changed and you began to live in another realm. Do you remember when Jesus sent out the disciples and they came back and they were healed and other people were healed? And Jesus said to them, the kingdom of God is not far from you, because you see, this kingdom supplies everything that you have need of. I'm stunned by this scripture, and it's still part of my journey. In Matthew 6:33, you know, here's Jesus. He's with people, and they're concerned. He says, why do you take any thought saying? Why do you take any thought saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink? He says, for these are the questions that the Gentiles ask. He says, but look around you. Do you see the lilies? Do you see them toiling? You see them spinning? He said, what about the birds? You think they're afraid that they don't have enough food? They're being abundantly supplied for. And if I care for the sparrows, would I not care more even for you? And then you know what he says? But seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now I want to tell you something. All these things is a big deal. I remember some years ago when the Father spoke to me as I was waiting on him, and he said, Len, I want to be your source for all things. Yes, all things. And I'm, you know, just like, yeah, okay, sure. I didn't know what I was agreeing to when I said, sure, that the Father wants to be our source for all things. Yes, all things. We'll go into that more later, but that's true for you as well. Because you see, he ultimately wants us to understand the power of him being the complete source and how you begin to move in those realms and understand those principles in the realization that you've been trained and you've been indoctrinated and you've been deceived and you've been inoculated into a three-dimensional world that is designed to keep you powerless and in containment, but just to make you a good, surrendered Christian. And you weren't made for that. You were made to be powerful. You were made to be strong. You were made to be supernatural. You were made to live out of a higher realm. And in many cases, you are, and you don't even realize it. You didn't even realize the power of the love of God and the realms that you live from and are accessing. I'll give you a famous scripture. And that scripture here is found in Proverbs 18:10. And you know what? You know it well. But it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. It's an amazing scripture. But you know what? It's not using it as a reference unto saying the name of the Lord is like a strong tower. Oh, no. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Okay. And then it says, and the righteous run to it and they are safe. And in the Hebrew, the words and are safe actually means to be lifted high above the enemy. Talks about a dimension. It speaks of a realm. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's a place that you run into. The righteous run into it and are high above the enemy. Can I just say, and we'll open up this more, one of the great strategies of the enemy is to keep you out of the strong tower. One of the strategies of the enemy is to keep you in his camp. Because if you're in his camp, you can be under his domain. But when you're in the strong tower, you are in the Father's domain, And the enemy is completely defeated when you live in his domain. Amen? He's already defeated, but you functionally have authority at that point. So, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are high above the enemy. Don't think of it being as vertically higher. Think of it as being dimensionally higher. All right? So, what does that mean? What does that look like? Let's take one name of the Lord, Jehovah Shalom. Let's say you grew up in a place where your parents had lots of fear in their lives. Could be born of anything. You can even have fear of tomorrow, right? You can have, and there's all kinds of physiological things that happen when we're governed by fear, right? Fear is can shape our world, can shape our thinking, can be controlled with mass media through fear. It can be all kinds of things, right? Fear is very powerful. There can be anxiety in our lives through a multiplicity of reasons. Some people, I know of some people, just lived in anxiety their whole life, right? It's a norm, right? It's just the way they lived. And these are Christian people. They just lived in anxiety. Somebody could have trauma. They could have things. And all of a sudden, it just created a stronghold in their life. And now they just live in a world of anxiety until one day, a power encounter happens. And they come into peace. And I know people like this. And they say, I've never felt this ever before. I've never known this kind of feeling, this rest that comes in peace. And all of a sudden, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord your peace, becomes a reality. It becomes a strong tower. And as it becomes a strong tower, now all of a sudden, you move into a place, and now you become impervious to the things that before would activate anxiety in your life. Because you are in another dimensional realm, and now peace becomes your normative place to live from. You make decisions according to peace. You're governed by peace. Anxiety doesn't have control over your life anymore. You are in a completely different realm, and you are living out of the kingdom of God. Isn't that something? But what happened? Jesus revealed himself to you because it is the desire of our Father to reveal himself, because Jesus came to reveal the Father. And so in that place of abiding, that all of a sudden the Father may reveal himself as kind. All of a sudden you become a kind person. He reveals himself as merciful. You become a merciful person. All of a sudden he reveals himself as being generous. And you move from being a stingy person to becoming a generous person. And the generous person will abound with blessings. You move into a place from anxiety into a place of peace. And all of a sudden now the word shalom begins to talk about completeness, wholeness, blessedness, and everything. You moved into a strong tower place. And now the world, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world, you are now out of a higher order. You are now out of a higher place. And it's not only you that are abiding in that strong tower of the Lord, of his abode and of his realm, but now you affect the world around you. Now you bring the kingdom of God in that place. If you're a business person, people walk in your doors and say, I don't know why. Every time I come here, I just feel peace. I don't know what it is. Every time I come here, I just feel loved. I just feel accepted. I don't know why. Everybody rejects me, everybody else. But when I come around you, I just feel loved. What is it? You're changing my life and I don't know what is happening. Why? Because it's a higher order. See what I'm saying? And now all of a sudden you realize that you are living a profoundly supernatural life, and it makes you more and more hungry, because with every little drop of the Father revealing himself to you, something is being awakened in your life, and the harmonic resonance of that awakening becomes now the opening of a realm of the kingdom of God for you to live in, and your promised land becomes a reality. Last scripture. So this is part of what we're moving into in these days. But you want to know something? There was a crisis for the children of Israel. They'd been in captivity for hundreds of years. They were slaves because they were living in a world under Pharaoh. And it's a type and shadow of the demonic world of the devil being the ruler of this world. It's a type and shadow. Israel was living under the rulership as slaves under Pharaoh. And Moses comes and says, let my people go. And you know the story of the plagues. Finally, the last plague. And that one there was the plague in which where the death angel will be released. And there was an instruction the Father gave to Moses. And he says, you go and have every person, every household, go and take the lamb, the blood of a lamb, sacrifice a lamb, now a type of Jesus, and take that blood and put it over the doorpost of their house. And he says, and when it sees the blood, it will pass over. This is the commencement of what we know as the Passover. And so they did it. And then as the death angel was released over the entire nation, you could hear the screams of people who suddenly their firstborn child had died. Their animals, firstborn, they died instantly, done. And there in the midst of this, as the camp of the people of Israel had put the blood over the doorpost, Moses stands up and prays one of his greatest prayers that we pray all the time. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. And all of a sudden, He opens the realm of what it is to dwell under the power of the blood, to dwell under the power of the realm, the strong tower. For He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. And all of a sudden, He opens this realm and the fruit of it and what it looks like. And it becomes the door that opens up. And I've heard people talk about in war times and everything else, as they took that promise in Psalm 91 and as they prayed it, and as enemy people came to bomb out areas, their home would be protected. People who were captains of ships would pray it every day in war, during the war, and they would go through enemy-infested waters, but their boats were never struck. And the stories go on and on and on of the lives of people who proclaimed Psalm 91 and entered into that realm. Everybody, I want to say to you, that's where we're living in right now. We're living in a crazy world. We're living in an unparalleled crazy world. But in the midst of that, you are part of a kingdom. You're part of a family. You're called to live supernaturally. The book of Joel is the day that we're living in right now, a place and a people that we've never seen ever before. I pray these will be supernatural meetings. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come upon people today in the name of Jesus, and that, Father, that You will shine with glory into the hearts and lives of people, for You will arise and shine, for the light of God has come, and the glory of God is risen upon You. Father, give us an open heaven in these days. Fill these men and women with power. Arm them with supernatural weaponry. Give them understanding. I think, pray, Father, that strongholds will be broken, trauma will be released from people, healing will flow. Holy Spirit, You have full reign in these meetings to do what You want to do in every person's life, and individually and corporately, for spiritual awakening and for this church to move into the fullness in this season and time of everything You have. Father, we thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.